Welcome back, everybody. And of course, we always like to check, have you check us out on Facebook and Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Make sure you put that T-H-E in there.
TheValleyOutdoors. You'll find plural.
Plural.com. There's more than one.
TheValleyOutdoors.com. Just keep saying it to yourself and dial it up.
As well as you can find us on a streaming.
Well, you can listen to any of our past programs
on
the website if you like.
Which is cool.
Plus, you can get in contact with a lot of manufacturers that we have relationships with.
Also, there's a lot of cool things coming up. I know we haven't alluded to anything. I'm not going to say anything until you give me the okie-dokie that I can. But we have got some big news coming, which is really kind of cool. So I know you were excited about it when we talked. So
absolutely.
Kind of fun. Since we are into the time frame, a lot of people decide they want to go squirrel hunting, some small game stuff. We figure we just give you some tips. Eight, to be exact.
Eight tips. For squirrel hunting.
Yep. Clay Newcomb happened to come out of this. And where's Clay Newcomb from, Ava?
I have no idea.
He provides a lot of input to What's Your Favorite Show? Meat Eater.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was not following.
It's okay.
Do you follow this up with some squirrel recipes?
No. Remember, okay. If we do, we have to make sure that we load them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can.
Well, we can tell about them. We don't have to load them.
Well, I don't have any though.
Oh.
I figured
he dropped the ball on that
Don,
one.
Sometimes you know what, Don? Sometimes you just got to understand that I don't have that, and then just don't push it
until I have to
actually tell you that I'm going to fall on the sword, and then say, "Yep." I don't have anything, Don. Okay. I got nothing. You ready for the eight tips now that you destroyed the whole thing?
I heard a pressure cooker works pretty well, I heard.
Great. Yeah. So does a crock pot.
Yeah, a crock
pot. Put the throw in the crock pot with mushroom soup and
bacon. Well, let's get to the
bacon.
Tips.
Bacon works for everything. All right. Now that we don't have a recipe and we just made one up. All right. So the eight tips. Number one, find the food, find the squirrels. Obviously you can break out squirrel dogs. You can do that. Tree squirrels don't hibernate. They are active all winter in order to survive colder temps. They hoard the food, burying it underground or storing it in the mid-camouflaged area ground cover. So that's going to be something to look for as well. While it's not necessarily necessary to find individual squirrel caches, they won't be far from their original food source. And, you can use what you've learned in the fall deer hunting pretty much easily. Same type of thing. Know where the squirrels are going because they're going to be eating that same area. And, of course, the ones that you find that annoyed you in your deer stand, just might as well take time to take them out now.
You mean the ones that sound like a deer coming up behind you?
Ava, has that ever happened to you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask.
Squirrels are
a pretty amazing animal. They hide a lot of, you know, nuts and things like that. Find a walnut tree and there's squirrels around.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right. So how do they know where all those nuts are? They got an amazing brain.
Instinct. Got to be instinct.
I didn't think you'd have an answer for that one.
Oh, I don't want to make one up either.
Okay.
Glassing for tails. Start with the trunk, then follow the main branches of the tree up. You're not looking for the whole squirrel because you're just not going to see him. What you're looking for is that long tail that blows in the wind and gives them away. You said you should glass at the straight lines of the tree and look for the bumps. That could be head, ear, or tail. If they're hiding from you, they're going to be pretty close to the trunk or on a big limb or right in the fork where those two meet. They are very aware of their silhouettes, and if they won't be out much more on a 2-inch limb to expose themselves. Yes, Don, you were going to say something?
I look out my back window, and it's like a circus.
Right about the time until you start blasting them.
I wouldn't need to.
Then they're all like running for the hills. They know, Don, you're not going to pull a gun out and shoot at them.
Well, probably not.
No. If you spot a squirrel, get there quickly. There is a time stamp on a tree because the squirrel is extremely mobile in the tree canopy. So when you hear those dogs are treeing, if you want to use a dog, you need to get there as soon as you can. By the time you get to a tree dog, 50% of the time the squirrel is going to be running, and 50% they're going to be holed up. So understand what's going on. Number three, get them moving. Oftentimes you find a squirrel in a hole, and it's hard to get them out. The biggest trick to get squirrels to move is to shake vines and limbs or just smack the tree with a stick. That's caveman. That works. I don't know, but it works. A lot of times squirrels are going to be in a tree with vines. They like the cover. Obviously, animals like cover. It protects, and especially in the late winter. And when you start banging the vines around, you can really get those squirrels moving. Never shoot a squirrel in the ground. Obviously, you don't want to shoot the dog in the excitement of the moment. That holds true with just
no ground pounding.
No ground pounding. And hunt with buddies and try different firearms. If you're by yourself, you really can't see the backside of the tree. Someone else that's with you certainly can. So circle around the tree and the moves. If you can get the spread out and get around the sides of the tree, you're going to likely get them. And also, they recommend using a Judge 45 Colt 410. So it's a split rifle shotgun deal. That works pretty good.
Yep.
And that's a pretty neat way to go. And
I was going to say, what's the firearm of choice?
The 22 with the shotgun.
And like a 410, small gauge?
Exactly.
28 gauge?
Yep. And coming up to the last two, black them out. Squirrels are pretty much a small target. Good marksmanship plays a key role in successful hunt. If you're shooting with a 22, you're going to be aiming at the head. If you're firing a shotgun, more likely to blast at a squirrel. Lead it like you would a duck. My grandpa always said, black them out. Swing your gun until you can't see them anymore, then pull the trigger. For new hunters, Clay's recommendation is just to get out hunting. I don't know if there's anything that can prepare you for shooting a squirrel any better than just going out and trying. And hoot, holler, and have a good time. I'm a grown man, as he says. It blows my mind how fast my heart beats when I walk up a tree and see a squirrel breaking away. You've got pretty much one shot at it in the timber. It's jumping and moving, and you just feel like you've come unglued inside. Take your shot, and then you're like, man, it's just a squirrel. Why did it get so worked up? Yeah, that's why we do it. It's chaos. It's great.
And you know, you can make a buck doing it. You know, you send your tails in.
Yeah. That works. Fly fishing places and
MEPS lures.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Well, tell you what, stay tuned. We got some more stuff coming up. And in this particular case, what search and rescue wants you to do when you're in dire straits. Hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Squirrels, Don. Squirrels.
Kind of cute, you know. Like you say, I look out my back window, it's like a circus. They're running all over the trees. There's probably a dozen of them back there.
Now, gray squirrels, I have no problem with. When it comes to the red
little
squirrels,
red ones, they're not your friend.
Game
they?
Over.
You don't call them friend?
No, they must
go.
Go.
They're so cute, though.
Stop.
They are cute.
Right so up to the cute. Point where they damage your vehicle to the tune of about $5,000 worth on two occasions, you have a little bit of a problem with.
I get animosity against little red squirrels.
I get a twitch when I get in that area. The right eye goes.
You haven't ever disposed of one, have you?
I cannot confirm nor deny that had happened.
I had a little one sitting on our deck, and I had an old bag of raisins that I opened up. I set it out there, and they were old raisins, fermented a little bit, and he enjoyed the heck out of them.
I bet he fell off the rail.
Well, I never saw him fall off, but he came back every day.
As soon as he falls off the rail,
looking
it's time
for
to take,
more raisins.
He was looking for. He cleaned them up, every darn one of them.
And that squirrel slowed down tremendously after that.
He got bigger.
He got large.
Yep.
Squirrel at large. Red squirrel. Makes it easier to hit him.
Yep.
I remember that, Don. I tried the bucket and the can thing with the peanut butter on it and the water.
For the squirrels?
Yeah.
They're smarter than that.
The red squirrel. Oh, no, they're not.
Aren't they?
No. I'm not going to say what happened, but
no.
I need more.
Tragic.
I need more. So since they would be squirrels would be lost maybe one or two at that point, the topic fits perfectly. Here's what search and rescue wants you to do when you become lost. And this is from they call it SAR, search and rescue team. They're on call 24 hours a day to help hunters and hikers and other outdoor explorers get out of tight spots. Many SAR missions could be avoided or made easier with a little preparation by those who might be in need of rescuing. In that spirit, Sydney Lear, who's an SAR instructor with the Blue Ridge Mountain Search and Rescue Group, talked to these people, this group, and said what we could do to help avoid a rescue or at least make it easier should we need to get one. Are you ready, Don?
I'm ready.
Now, we did this before, and the thing you don't want to do, apparently, is change your cell to say, I'm lost. You're not supposed to do that. That's one thing. So I can say that up front. We edumacated ourselves on that. Number one, get trained up on basic land navigation and first aid. Give yourself the tools to be self-reliant and an asset to others. And this is a great place to start. There's a lot of articles and a lot of places, outdoor publications, but most take practice to master. Are you a serious outdoors person who should understand how to navigate with a proper map and compass? Absolutely, that's a big thing. Navigation courses are available from REI Co-op and other organizations with both online and in-person offerings. And I will say the in-person is much better. It gives you an understanding of what problems can occur from the experts. You can get first aid courses online through the American Red Cross. I've gone through many of those myself. The Wilderness First Aid Training with NOLS, National, I don't know what that stands for. Huh, I'll have to look that up. And a number of other groups, but NOLS is an outdoor group. And such training, great training, is part of becoming an SAR team member. Get the right gear and learn to use it. If you don't need to spend all of your pennies on a fancy gear, but you do want to get gear that performs. Most importantly, you need to know how to use the gear you have. Practice with it, then practice some more. And if and when you need it, your gear, knowledge, and muscle memory will overcome a cocktail of adrenaline, fatigue, fear, and foggy mind. Have you ever gotten in the woods and got turned around?
Yes.
It's a spooky deal.
That happened to me when I was in Idaho. I had not a clue where I was.
No. Great.
I was in Grand Rapids. Panic. As about 14, I was on a drive, and I was in the middle of a tamarack swamp, and I thought I was going straight. And suddenly, I'm not coming out of the tamarack swamp. It's continuing on and on and on. And, yeah, so I figured out a way to do it. I won't go into that, but figure out a way to get out of it. But, again, super important. So important here, have a good topo map and the best compass you can find. But if you don't know how to use either of them, they're just fire starters.
Right?
It's whatever it is. You can have a great topo map and a best compass. You got to be in the market for every one of them, but also how to use them. That's the biggest thing. So a few resources that are out there. There's a lot of backpacks. Meat Eater website, you can find it on there. And they have all the key points, whether you're looking for a fire starter, special clothes, boots, knives, any of those things. Make and share an outing plan. Make sure someone knows where you are. Send them a map and show them where you'll be, what your plan is, and definitely agree on a time out when you're coming out of the woods or the wherever you're at, and stick to that plan. Float plans are a commonplace among paddlers, and such documents of value, big time, for any type of an outing. Include your vehicle information, when and where you're going, and with whom, where you'll park, what your route is, and when you'll be back. Who to contact also if the folks don't hear from you, and other relevant details. And you can get that also from the U.S. Coast Guard. That's kind of cool. Cover the 10 essentials. Most any outing can go wrong. You'll need to be able to address the 10 essentials. Number one, shelter, fire, first aid, food, hydration, insulation with appropriate clothing, flashlight, headlamp, and backup batteries, navigation, hard copy map and compass, because digital, if you lose power, will not work, a knife, and a repair kit and sun protection. Put a signaling device such as a whistle in that backpack and consider a very strong argument for including a GPS and personal locator beacon or satellite phone. They're expensive, but they are cheaper than the cost of a long search and rescue mission. There's no question about that. You can get all these things when you look online. Again, Meat Eater has this and other elements to go
you
at
know,
it.
I think you're making reference primarily to guys that are out in the woods or on land.
Yeah.
I can tell you that if I took you to the into my boat right now, I have the same. I have everything you just listed in there mm-hmm. in my boat in a plastic container. And the reason I do that is because, as you know, I like to go to Canada a lot and into the wilderness. We'll go up 1,200 miles from here and go out 25 miles, and there's always that chance that your motor could clunk out or something like that. And if you get stranded out there, you're in just as bad a shape if you're not prepared on water as you are on land. So I keep all of that in my boat.
It's a big thing.
Yep.
It is, no question. Sort any apps and phone hacks, even the first-rate navigator with a printed map and compass. It'd be silly to ignore any available resources. So if you have electronics, be ready to use them. Pick the apps you want and download them with the Wi-Fi before you need them. Start out on the right foot. So you orient yourself. Get ready to step up to the woods. Know waterways, roads, ridges, railroad tracks, and other elements. Know yourself and be honest. There's quite a denial when you first get lost. Absolutely. There is a big denial. So many people just keep wandering, and by the time they admit their loss, they dug themselves deeper in a hole, and people with a lot of experience in the woods can sometimes be more susceptible to that, which is the craziest part. Be an advocate for your rescue. Put your 10 essentials to work for you. Settle in, stay calm, get comfortable. Treat injuries if you have them, and it's likely going to be a long wait. If you have cell service, call for help and or send a text. Activate your spot beacon to make satellite phone call if you have it. And last but not least, help yourself get out of the woods. Once the team finds you, be a proactive subject. Tell them all the circumstances that led to the situation. For their safety and yours, be honest on how you're feeling. If you're injured, it will be a long process to get you out, but the injury will determine the treatment and how to best affect a resolution to that. And finally, please look at joining your local team of professionally trained SAR volunteers, and SAR teams and hunters need each other. So kind of a cool story. I saw that, and you know, it applies every time of year. There's no off season on that.
Yeah. Every year you hear somebody getting stranded out on a hunt or something like that.
Yeah. And it's not a pleasant thing to get stranded.
Nope.
So don't be lost. And the other way not to be lost is to listen to us every week. We provide guidance.
Okay.
We're sticking with that story. Well, for Don, after that comment, Eric and Ava, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out of here. Thanks for joining us. Join us next week. It'll be awesome. See ya.